the book of Jude. It's just one chapter. It'll strengthen your heart. God bless you. Be a blessing. Pray for the church in America and become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you. Be a blessing. Remember, Jesus is building His church.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of IR and its advertisers or...
Not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. The views of our guests and, well, during the first hour, the views of Cal Grunwald, who supports Radio Liberty, and we certainly support him and his effort to educate people about what's happening to our country financially. Cal, thanks very much for being with us this evening.
It's always good to be on your show.
Well, you know, there are lots of interesting things going on. Somebody sent me an article, I think it was on Jim Sinclair's website, that showed a foreign news magazine, it was obviously written in a foreign language, had a picture of George Washington on the front, but he was wearing one of these masks, you know, that you'd give people if you were giving them oxygen. And, of course, the basic title of the article was that the America as a reserve currency needs oxygen to keep it going, and of course we will soon lose our position as the reserve currency of the world. And all of the implications, of course, will happen when the dollar stops being the reserve currency. What are your thoughts on that? Did you see the article?
I did. Somebody, a friend of mine, emailed it to me, and you know, George had a resuscitator mask on.
Right.
And, you know, say something about the day of the dollar is over. And, of course, the rest of the world knows that, but, you know, people in this country are so blind they can't see it, and, of course, they're not told. So.
Now, what are the implications, though, if the dollar ceases to be the reserve currency of the world?
Well, again, that's where we are. Now, the euro is over 136. And our dollar is continuing its slide. Housing market is coming apart at the seams, are falling, and property taxes are rising while the value of houses is going down. It's everything is backwards.
You know, Chris, the thing that really disturbs me, most people don't understand the implications of what's happening. Certainly, the pound sterling was the reserve currency of the world until the end of the Second World War, and then of course the dollar. Replaced the pound sterling because the dollar had gold backing behind it. Even though Americans couldn't own gold, there was plenty of gold. You know, America had most of the gold in the world after the Second World War, and of course we were the strong currency up until, well, I guess it was the 15th of August, 1971, when Nixon temporarily closed the gold window and stop the redemption of the American dollar in gold, but it was only temporary. He didn't tell you, though, how long that temporary ban would last, and, of course, it's still lasting today, almost certainly 30, 30, 6 years later, why nobody, of course, can redeem their dollars in another country with gold. But certainly, you know, the dollar has held up pretty well. But as long as America acted responsibly, but we're not acting responsibly, are we?
Oh, no. No, we're, as we mentioned before, you know, the Fed is printing bales and bales of money. They sent 363 tons of billion dollars. It was about $10 billion, but 363 tons of money to Iraq, into a war zone, and it disappeared on top of that. So they're flooding the country with a sea of liquidity, free money, free cash, you know, for home improvements through like Home Depot's, 0% loans. I mean, it's a desperate attempt to save something that's left.
Well, buy now and then pay starting in 2010, but buy now. Well, Carl, you know, as we look and see what's going on today, why, certainly everything is being done to keep the consumer coming in, and the consumers are still going into the stores, but of course a lot of them are still buying with borrowed money, and just the credit, you know, continues flowing. They continue providing actually ready credit. The interest rates on homes has actually fallen. You can get a 15-year loan for about 5% now. It's very, very, very attractive. But the value of homes is beginning to fall all across the country. Some places more so than others. A few places, like California, it's going up. But the values are not going up very rapidly, maybe 1% or 2%. And to many parts of the country, the value of homes has dropped 10% or 20%. Have you been watching what's really happening to the housing market?
In a cursory fashion. I'm talking to people out there. One man said that there was a town in Colorado, I didn't catch the name, but fully one-third of the houses in that particular town are up for sale on foreclosure. A man in the town in which I live, Shawnee, Wisconsin, was down at the courthouse the other day, and he said the people told him it's never been this bad. You know, people are losing their houses, and it's really bad because, the jobs are going, and how can you make your house payment if you don't have a job anymore? It's really bad.
Well, of course, the thing is, what's this thing get started, and people begin to have to put their houses on the market, and then other people, of course, are not in a position to be borrowing money to pay for them, because everything is done with borrowed money, and so many of the loans that have been put out have been, frankly, fraudulent loans. Many times even loans were made to non-existent people or people who were actually paid to buy a home or to put their name up, then, of course, they would put their name up. They would buy the house at far more than it was worth, and the people who were making this whole scam up would pocket the difference between what the house was actually worth and, of course, what was it appraised out, and the appraisers were putting in artificially high appraisals. But then, of course, as the people couldn't make their loan payments, and the banks would get stuck with houses that were only worth perhaps two-thirds of what they'd loaned the money on. And now what's going to happen to the banks? So the banks are looking at large losses, and I really feel that we're on the verge of some very, very difficult times with the housing market, but it's not simply the housing market. I think the most interesting thing was just last month why Toyota became the largest car producer in the United States, surpassing General Motors. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I think that most people haven't paid much attention, but it was announced just this last couple of weeks that Toyota is now the largest car producer in the United States. In other words, they've surpassed General Motors. General Motors, of course, is moving over to China, where General Motors is the largest car producer in China. The problem is, of course, they've gone into partnership with some of the Chinese companies over there and shared their technical know-how, and now the Chinese companies have got all General Motors' production secrets and technical secrets, and they're beginning to turn out a very, very good cars, well-built cars, built on the General Motors model and competing with General Motors that they're in partnership. So I think there are all sorts of complications and real problems as far as General Motors and Ford and Chrysler and all of these other companies are concerned. Of course, losing their market share here in the United States, depending upon the market share in other countries to make up for it. And General Motors did make money in China last year. But how long is that going to be able to continue? What are your thoughts, Cal?
Well, again, you've got the cheap labor over there, and that's the key. I read a couple of months ago that the average General Motors worker makes $76 an hour, you know, with the hourly wage plus the benefits. And if you're talking 50 to 75 cents an hour over in China, you know, for the same comparable labor, you know, and with benefits, if they have any, you know, you can't compete. So, you know, we're just pricing ourselves out of the world market and out of jobs, and it's all a matter of control. We've lost complete control of our country, and of course, that's done by design.
And of course, what we've done is we've taken down the tariff walls, and now we can, of course, bring in products from other countries so much more cheaply than they can be produced here. And as, of course, Professor Alan S. Blinder, B-L-I-N-D-E-R, a professor of economics at Princeton University, has pointed out, we only still have 20 million manufacturing jobs, and we have the potential to lose every one of those jobs and an additional 20 million jobs. And the question is, where are American workers going to get jobs that, of course, will pay anything worthwhile 10 years down the line? I think that's a very, very interesting question, and something they should have thought of before they took down our tariff walls and said, oh, trade is good, what we need is free trade. Well, unfortunately, free trade leads to the destruction of the infrastructure of the wealthy countries, and it may improve a lot of the less developed countries, but what impact is this going to have on the United States? What impact is this going to have on Europe? And I'm very much afraid that Europe is going to do whatever it is to protect themselves. America seems to be intent upon self-destruction, and with that will come the demise of the dollar and the destruction of the value of our currency and the impoverishment of our people. How many people out there do you think are really aware of what's going on, Cal?
Well, I think 1% would be a stretch.
Well, Chris, you're talking to a lot of people. What do the people that you talk to tell you?
Well, again, I talk to a very selective audience, those who listen to you and other alternative talk show hosts. And they're tuned in because they're hearing the truth. But again, I think 1%, if 1% in this country knew the truth, that's a stretch.
All right, fine. Certainly the stock market keeps going up like there's no tomorrow, and it hit over 1,300, and certainly seems to be going up. And, this is all well and good, but the profits, on a lot of our corporations certainly don't justify the market going up like that. And although the Dow is going up, do you have any idea what's happening to the general stock market? Because people I talk to tell me that although the market is going up, the Dow Jones is going up, that doesn't reflect their portfolio.
No, that's very true. The only thing that's doing very well are the the gold stocks, simply because gold is climbing, and that's a real rise. You know, everything else is just a fiction.
Well, of course, they hit gold and silver today. Did you notice?
Oh, yeah, I kind of expected that, and of course, $700 an ounce is kind of like a psychology number. There's resistance at that level also, so the bankers have to keep it down. But it's just a matter of time before it goes through 700, and I think the next level then is around 760. So.
Well, what did gold end up today? Do you know?
675.
So they really took almost a $15 hit,
right?
And of course they really hit silver as well. It was down, almost 50 cents an ounce. So, but they play these games, and I think until people understand that these markets are totally manipulated, and they use the prices of the stocks and the prices of the gold and silver products to manipulate our reality and create an emotional response in us. Until people understand it's all a matter of perception, till people understand that they know how to manipulate our reality and our emotions, They cannot certainly separate themselves from what they see to what's really happening, because they have the ability to manipulate the stock market. It is illegal, but then who are you going to complain to? The Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez? Do you think he's really concerned that government agencies are working, the Plunge Protection Team, which is authorized by legislation actually passed during the Reagan administration, that they're manipulating the stock market? It was only put in there initially just to keep the market from just collapsing in the case of a crisis. But instead of course, whenever you have a law, it'll always be used, to do things that you never intended, the law of unintended consequences. And this legislation that was put in initially to protect, the market from simply collapsing under stress is now being used on a regular basis to manipulate the reality of the American people. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Cal or for comments you'd like to make as far as what you see happening in the market today. But certainly there's all sorts of money out there. The hedge funds have more money than they know what to do with. These are wealthy people, and they're investing, hoping to make 20-30% income on their investments. Certainly the people who manage the hedge funds are making fantastic salaries. There's one PhD who manages a hedge fund whose salary last year was over $1 billion. That is B-boy, B-billion dollars. This hedge fund manager made over $1 billion last year, supposedly because he had made so much money for all of his all of the people who were invested in the hedge fund. And this is all well and good as far as the hedge fund is going in the right direction, but if any of these things ever began to turn against them, or if there were to be perhaps some sort of an attack on America, or we were to lose a few aircraft carriers over in Iran, or they were to lob some missiles and have them hit in the green zone, and we were to lose a 1,000 American troops over there, I think this would have devastating effect on the market, in fact, on the psyche of the American people. Well, anyway, what are your thoughts, Cal? Where do we go from here?
Well, I would like to, comment on some things that I've kind of learned or absorbed in the last time, since I was on your last show. Some very interesting things as I've been talking to people, not only about gold and silver, but other things. I talked to a man today who's like a sales manager for a national food supply product company. And he said that they had a really bad product year last year, and so they're not taking any new customers. No, this is a huge food supplier. They're not taking any more customers, and they only have inventory on hand for 31 days. And that means that if they weren't supplied or they didn't get any new product in their warehouses, they could only supply their current customers for 31 days. He said in his 30 years with the company, he's never seen anything like this before with such a depleted inventory.
And are these canned goods he's talking about?
No, it's like French fries and biscuits and buns and
okay.
Just like to the fast food, or not fast food but restaurants. These are restaurant supply products. So he said, well, maybe it's because, of course, of the weather. And then he also said that because of the advent of the ethanol lobby and everything else, now corn is far more profitable to grow than potatoes or anything else. Chickens, because corn has gone up so high, now it costs a tremendous amount of money to feed chickens, so consequently chicken feed has gone up. The cost of chickens has gone up, and it's just like a snowball.
Sure, because the price of eggs as well.
So it's accelerating all that. And then I got my own opinion about ethanol, but as you know, you got what you got it, the EI-85 or ethanol 85 fuel, but you get 4 or 5 miles a gallon less when you're burning alpha, you know, ethanol. So it also clogs your, you know, injectors, and it's everybody knows that, you know anything about cars or engines, that ethanol is not good for your automobile, but yet that's where things are going, and it's just, you know, escalating the price of everything. So,
and of course, it's going to be raising the price then of beef cattle.
Yeah.
And of course, any animal that's fed grain, corn, is the price is going to go up. And I think there's going to be all sorts of really frightening implications. Certainly, a lot of the corn growers and small corn growers gone out of business, and so that it'll take them a while to get the corn crops back in now that the price is up. But of course, I really think that the government says there's no inflation, but look and see what's happened to the price of eggs and of chickens and of beef. Are you going to believe the government, or are you going to believe your lying eyes? Well, give us a call if you'd like at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and go right ahead, Cal. I think that's a very...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iOtterol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your body balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
This year, the Buffalo came along to compete with the Canadian Maple Leaf and the Austrian Philharmonic, the Chinese Standard. Those are all 24 karat bullion coins too. But you know, of course, there's always an opportunist or a vulture out there, you know, to make some money on the unsuspecting public. And it's really a shame because there really isn't anything out there read other than my paper that will educate people about, you know, what's going on. And so consequently, I ran into another lady who bought 20 of these first strike buffaloes, you know, MS69, and NGC is the certifying company, National Guarantee Corporation. And the other one is PCGS, Professional Coins Rating Service. Those are the two independent rating firms that were started. Organized in around 1985 to standardize the certification of numismatic coins. Well, as with just about every organization, they start out, you know, fairly legitimate, and then corruption creeps in by, you know, 21 years later, you know, we've got NGC, you know, getting these bullion coins, you know, paying spot a little bit above them and putting a 75-cent plastic case on it, stamping them MS69. And they get $30 a piece for doing that, send them to these coin companies, and coin companies, you know, sell them for $1,600 or $1,000 a piece. I mean, that's what's happening. And PCGS picked up the ball, and they decided they're going to make some money, too. So they do that with thousands of these coins, and the unsuspecting public, they don't know any better, so they just, you know, fall prey to the advertising brokers and brokers from these companies. It's pretty disturbing when I talk to people, and they're always shocked, and you know, there's really not any recourse, because if you go to sell them back, you know, to wholesalers, they'll just give you what, you know, whatever spot is, because they say it's just a bullion coin, and even they call it a scam.
I can't understand how anybody would simply buy gold coins without shopping around and talking to several people to make sure that this was a legitimate price. The average person has no business buying expensive, you know, collector's coins anyway if they do not understand the market.
Well, again, these aren't even collector coins, but they're fronted as collector coins. And unfortunately, when you shop around, you know, you're going to run into the big names out there. And someday I might name them on the air, but I won't now. But it's the same companies. You know, I have kind of a ranking system for, you know, the most crooked companies out there, and they're always, you know, here we go again. It's that the same one that's at the top of the list, you know, sold that man, you know, 12 of those MS-69 First Strike Buffalo for $1,600 a piece. The company is always, you know, the biggest crook, you know, in the country, and I'd be glad to talk to somebody individual and tell who it is and what company it is, but I'm not here to badmouth the company or to run it down, but I'm just kind of here to warn people. You know, if you want to know about these things, you know, I'd be glad to share. But again, I'm trying to be a service to people, educate them, because there's a lot of people now buying gold. Gold's in the news even, you know, now, and, you know, reaching almost $700 an ounce. And people are fleeing the dollar. They are, some of them are really waking up and paying attention, but unfortunately, they fall into the wrong hands when they do buy. So, again, buyer beware. If you want to, you can go to my website and do that.
And I think that is a very, very good, certainly very, very good policy. Buyer beware, because there's a lot of sharks out there in the water, and they will really get you if you're not careful. And certainly, whenever I buy things, I always check with several sources to make absolutely certain that it's a legitimate price and it's a product that you can turn around and sell. And there are some people out there who are just excellent salesmen, and they're certainly but they're really not interested in you, so you better be absolutely certain what you're doing before you enter into the coin market. It's I believe, of course, that there is a great deal to be said for the coin market, but certainly not when you're buying products at three times what they're worth. And when you turn around to sell them, why, of course, you're going to be very much surprised to find it'll be a long time before you ever recoup what you put into your coins. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Cal Grunwald. But we're at a very difficult time in our nation's history. Economically, why America is losing markets throughout the world. America is the largest debtor nation in the entire world, in the history of the world. They're selling off the Chicago Skyway, the New Jersey Turnpike, the Ohio Turnpike, just to try to be able to meet the debts of the various states. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Cal Grunwald. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's really very interesting. We've seen how you can actually stimulate the market and get it to, of course, do very well financially and get the economy to do fairly well, even though we certainly done away with tariffs by lowering the income tax, by lowering the capital gains tax. There was a real incentive for people to invest and to create new companies and to take a chance in their investing, and some people have done very well and some people haven't. But when you raise taxes, of course, you discourage investing, you discourage people from taking a chance. They're not going to take a chance if they can't make a profit. And so it's well known that certainly you get what you subsidize, and if you want to get people to invest and of course to get the economy booming, you lower taxes. And if you want to contract the market, you've raised the taxes. And this seems to be what the Democrats are intent upon doing. Now, I certainly believe in cutting taxes, but I don't believe you cut the taxes and then you increase spending. We have two political parties. One's the Democrats. They tax and spend and elect. The Republicans have even got it better. They borrow and borrow and spend and elect. And I'm not sure, which is the worst for our nation, but they're both wrong. What we need to do is cut spending, and yet, well, they're not being honest with us. The president has told us that the deficit for this year is only going to be, I think, $248 billion. But he doesn't mention all the money that they're stealing from Social Security and Medicare. He doesn't mention that the appropriations for the war are not included in that, and they have to be added on, so that the federal debt this year is going to be in the neighborhood of $600 or $700 billion, and they're simply lying to the American people. And the trouble is that nobody's telling the American people what's really going on. They don't understand that the government every year, of course, steals all the money in the Social Security system and then puts an IOU in a folder and says it's as good as money. But the trouble is, the one thing they never tell the public is the government doesn't have any money other than what it takes from us by force, of course, what it borrows, of course, or what it gets by printing, and by so doing, destroying the foundation of our monetary system. And I fear that that is, of course, exactly what's happening today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cal Grunwald. Cal, before we go on, I'd like you to go ahead and get your telephone number out there, and then, of course, your website one more time. And then I'd like you, of course, to go ahead if anybody's out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Cal or a comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And as we see, the whole world stock market certainly has been going up madly. And all the countries of the world on a fiat money system, all of them are expanding their monetary supply. But, of course, this one day is going to lead to rampant inflation. And sooner or later, why, they're going to have to start cutting back on the amount of money in circulation and the amount of credit that's out there, or there will be runaway inflation, and the same tragedy will befall our society today that has been fallen societies from ancient Greece to ancient Rome to medieval Florence and medieval Venice when they tried similar situations to what happened in France in the early 1700s, what happened in France in the late 1700s, what happened in America during the American Revolution when we printed the continental currency that ended up not being worth the continental, was the phrase. And then time and time again after that until we get to where we are today, but we are in worse position today than any time in my memory, I believe any time in the history of our nation. Cal, get your telephone number out, your website, and then if you're out there in the listening audience, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Yes, my number is 414-234-8267. It's 414-234-8267. And my website is www.goldandsilverexchange.info. That's goldandsilverexchange.info.
All right.
We were talking a little bit about the. I just want to make a couple more points, but talking about the, the housing bubble and how values are going down, taxes are going up, things like that. But I talk to people a lot about what I did, not that I'm doing, the epitome of the intelligent thing, but renting. And 1998, I sold my house in Mankato, Minnesota, moved to Minneapolis where I rented. And I, trimmed down my things and my personal possessions, and I started renting. And I'm still renting, and I never intend to buy a house. You can see what's happening to the, to the housing market and everything else. So if you're renting, you still live in a place, you can deduct it from your income tax, but you don't have the property taxes, you don't have the mortgage payment, you don't have the upkeep, the maintenance, the liability. If you lose your job for a time, they're not going to foreclose after 4 months because you're renting, and it's being mobile, it's being wise. Again, probably not for everybody, but considering, these are the last days, we have to be pretty wise with what we have. And, of course, before Y2K, I bought a lot of gold and silver when the price was down. And I'm just pretty much sitting on the sidelines in personal control of about 100% of my wealth. So I talk to people this way in a real practical way. I just say you've got to get out of the system as much as possible, or the system is going to catch you eventually and drag you down into the abyss. And it sounds kind of negative, but those who are listening to your show and a lot of other, good shows that tell the truth, all these things are true. And, you have to have a plan or an exit strategy that makes sense, and you can still live your life normally as much as you can while things are going on, but yet in preparation and with an eye on the very near future.
Well, I certainly agree with that, and because people do not understand paper money. But certainly it was Thomas Jefferson said, we're to be ruined by a deluge of paper money as we were formerly by the old continental paper. And of course, shortly after he said that, of course, the monetary system collapsed, and that was in the early 1800s. Daniel Webster said, of all the contrivances for cheating the laboring classes of mankind, none has been more effective than that which deludes them with paper money. Of all the contrivances for cheating the laboring classes of mankind, none has been more effective than that which deludes them with paper money. It was Voltaire who actually had commented that all paper money eventually returns to its true value, which is nothing. Somebody just called, asked if you could speak directly into the phone so they could hear you a little better.
Oh, okay. Is that better?
Oh, that is ever so much better. Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, sorry about that.
And did you have any other things you'd like to talk about?
Well, another gentleman I ran into bought 85 MS-65 Morgan silver dollars, and they cost $165 a piece. Now, there's 0.77 of an ounce of silver in a Morgan silver dollar. So, in essence, if you did a little math, he paid $203 per ounce for that silver coin. And silver right now today is $13.36 an ounce. So that's a little over 1,500%, you know, greater than silver is.
Well,
right now.
He really got taken, didn't he?
I know, and this is the kind of thing that these companies do all the time. You know, they sell this high price silver and gold coins, you know, with these speculative, you know, you're going to make a lot of money, and you know, these coins were, you know, tripled their value in, you know, 2 years in 1985. I mean, it's all kinds of, you know, sales talk, but people will never get their money. Silver has to get to, you know, $200 an ounce for you to break even. And, you know, if that happens, who knows? But, and then I talked to another person who was very, very knowledgeable about this new electronic scam, and maybe you've heard of it. You know, if you're traveling and you take your laptop into an airport and you hook it up to one of those ports, you know, in the waiting room or computer room there, and you enter in maybe you're doing your business or trying to balance your checkbook, that information then becomes, you know, accessible, you know, somehow to hackers around the world. A lot of them are, I guess, in Russia. And what they do is they tap into your, you know, your accounts. And then once they're in there, then they sell them for like $350, $400 a piece, you know, to different people in different parts of the world, who then basically can clean you out while you're just sitting there. And they, you know, they can do it all electronically. And this is becoming more and more prevalent all the time. It's pretty scary. I just wanted to mention that to people, that if you're traveling, and they're getting so sophisticated now that they're starting to be able to do that, you know, with people in their homes. That's another reason that I tell people. I said, well, you've got a lot of electronic money out there in the stock market or annuities or T-bills or wherever it is. It's a number on a computer chip, and if you have an account, these hackers can get in there. You know, you're always at risk. So why not, you know, turn your electronic or paper money into tangibles, you know, food or medical supplies, gold, silver, you know, cash in your hand. Well, the dollar is still good. You've got cash in your hand. You don't have to go to the bank and get it, you know, because bankers aren't our friends. And again, this is kind of a drastic way to talk, but unless you're in control of your wealth, you don't, you know, it's not yours. I mean, it's possession's 9/10 of the law, and that's how I talk to people. And you know, you probably don't have to get that drastic. But if you trust the government, then leave your money where it is. But if you don't trust the government, you better take control of it. So that's how I talk to people, in just kind of a calm way. But it does wake a lot of people up when you talk one on one. But somehow the system has so much power to propagandize and deceit that people just are like numb. They don't get it.
No, I think the tragedy is, of course, I think so many of the older people who really don't have the capacity to recapture the money that they lose. So many of the older people honestly are anticipating getting pensions. But, of course, these pensions are invested in the stock market. If the stock market were to fall, there wouldn't be enough money in the pension funds to pay them off. And the stock market is going to fall. It's just there's simply this exuberance out there that has gotten it over 1,300 with very little look in the way of profits to justify this massive increase in the price of the stock market. It all has to do with perception. And I would just simply reread for you what Alan Greenspan had written back in 1965. And this is what he said. In the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. There is no safe store of value. If there were, the government would have to make its holding illegal, as was done in the case of gold. The financial policy of the welfare state requires that there be no way for the owners of wealth to protect themselves. This is the shabby secret of the welfare state's tirade against gold. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for the confiscation of wealth. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for the confiscation of wealth. And ladies and gentlemen, we have massive deficit spending today. And of course, when the president tells you our deficit for this year is only $248 billion, he just forgot to mention $300 billion they're stealing from Medicare and Social Security, and the $1.2 or $1.25 billion, I should say $125 billion of recent appropriations for the war. So you're already talking almost three times what the stated deficit is. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Cal, what are you telling your people to do today? Should they be getting into gold? Should they be getting into silver? Should they be getting into platinum? Should they be getting into palladium? Should they be getting into gold and silver stocks? Should they be getting into foreign currencies? What do you tell people they should be doing?
Well, I explained to people over and over. I said gold is what gold's the only monetary metal right now in the world. Of course, silver will be when the dollar collapses. But gold is what is in short supply right now. And I'm encouraging people to buy gold. Of course, platinum, palladium, those are industrial metals. Gold stocks are just like another stock. Even though they're doing well, they're just a number on a piece of paper. And when the market comes down, so will they. So it's gold in your hand, first of all. You can always pick up silver later. You know, there's some kind of a shortage of silver, but it's not as severe as gold at all. So, and I stress the importance of being able to, hold gold and hide it, and also being mobile, with 90 to 95% of your wealth, and that's true with the gold. Now, silver is very good for barter, but it's an encumbrance when you get a lot of it. It's hard to store, and you'll for sure never pick it up and go if you have to leave quickly. And I know I've gone over this, sounds like beating a dead horse, but I run into people so many. I talked to a man yesterday who's already bought five bags of silver. I talked to one a couple months ago that had 20 bags of silver, and a bag is 55 pounds, so what are you going to do with it all? But these people who are pushing silver for the upside potential, that's what they do. That's all they talk about is silver, and you're going to get rich, but they never deal with the next logical scenario or step down the road is when the dollar collapses and there is no currency, who are you going to sell it to and what kind of money are you going to get in return when there is no dollar? Nobody goes that far and nobody answers that question. Nobody asks the question, nobody answers it.
Well, I think it's really interesting as we follow the course of the dollar, we find the dollar continue to fall. And certainly, where is the dollar now? What, about 81 or so?
I think it was 8057 is what I saw today.
Is it really 80?
That's what I saw on one chart.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, of course, remember it was 120 here about three years ago. So it's fallen from 120 down to a little over 80 at the present time. And if the dollar breaks to 80, why, of course, you watch out below. What you're seeing, you have the same number of dollars. It's the trouble is that they won't buy anywhere near as much. And if you don't, if you believe what you're being told about inflation, you've got to be incredibly naive. Look and see what's happening to the price of gasoline. And then ask yourself, are they telling me the truth about inflation? Look and see what's happening to the price of medicines that you buy at the pharmacy. And then ask yourself, are they telling me the truth about inflation? Look and see what food prices are doing today. And then ask yourself, are they telling me the truth about inflation? And the truth of the matter is they're lying to the American people. And they're lying about so many things. And if they're lying about inflation, and they're lying about the stability of our society, and they're lying about the number of new jobs, which they are, and they're lying about the unemployment rate, Would they deceive you? Would they destroy the value of your currency? Would they steal your what you've worked so hard for all of your life? And of course, by actually destroying the value of the dollar, destroy your pensions. Begin taking defensive actions. This is all we can tell you, and certainly we've written extensively about that on our website and our little pamphlet, The History of Money, in our syllabus and the talk we give on the financial tsunami. So the best thing that you can do is begin thinking and planning, and certainly we could be wrong. But I don't think we are. I've been at this for 45 years. I'm not a financial consultant. I'm just trying to be the watchman on the wall, warning people, be very, very careful, because this is the time when great fortunes will be made, but where most people will be impoverished. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners, Cal?
Well, again, I'm encouraging people just to take a good hard look at their wealth, wherever it is, and make a concerted effort to turn it into something tangible and have it with you in your possession. I talked to a lady last week who's got about $125,000 in the market, and she gets Social Security and she gets some dividends. Well, if she took $40,000 and, you know, and converted it into cash and had it in her hand, that would supplement her Social Security as long as that lasted, which could evaporate any time. And put the rest into gold, you know, and when things happen with the dollar and gold, you know, turns out to be $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 an ounce, she'll be a very, very wealthy lady. Again, that's not the point, to be wealthy, but if you're sitting on the sidelines with your wealth, you've got a chance to survive. But if you have them in the system, you know, in uncle's banks, you're in trouble.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program here with Cal Grunwald. Well, Cal, you want to get your website out one more time and your telephone number.
Yes, www.goldandsilverexchange.info. It's goldandsilverexchange.info. It's a brand new website. You'll really enjoy it. A lot of good information there. My phone number is 414-234-8267. That's 414-234-8267. I'd be glad to talk to anybody. At no obligation, no high pressure. I don't believe in that. I used to be a teacher, so I do everything through education. Feel free to call me, and I'll call you back, because I've got a phone with unlimited minutes. So just to say, could you please call me back? I'll be glad to do that. So.
All right, fine, too. Actually, you've got about 2 minutes to wrap up the program this evening.
Well, I'd like to tell another case study here, but I don't have time for that. Again, I'm running into more and more people that have been buying from coin companies, big, reputable, so-called reputable coin companies. And they're hanging on to people's monies for 4, 5, 6 months. And this is really alarming to me. And the companies that were never doing it before now are doing it. I won't mention any names. But they call the company, and the broker doesn't answer the phone, nor does the boss, the owner. And so I sometimes get in the middle of it, as I did with one recently. He was $96,000 he sent the company 4 months ago, and I know of the company very well, and they've never been that strung out before, but that's how desperate these companies are. And they just,
well, now what are they doing with the money? Are they investing in
no,
it?
They're
waiting for the price to go down so they can.
They're living lavish lifestyles. Unfortunately, like I said, I was in the middle of the gold coin industry for 6 years with big coin companies, and I saw what they did with the money, and it wasn't wise. You know, they get the money from one customer, and then they'll pay bills for another business, or the owner will buy a brand new Mercedes or a BMW or something. And, you know, that's where it all goes. And they make up stories. Well, we're looking for the best coins for you. That's why we haven't got them. We haven't found the best coins for you. When we do, make sure you'll get them. You know, they just lie, make up stories. That's their modus operandi, and that's why I said you. Bigger companies, it's like the nature of the beast. You just can't trust them because they have such a huge, greedy overhead. And anyway, I talk about it in my paper. So if people want to request that, you can just go to my website and say, please send me your paper. I'll email you my paper in its entirety, and you can read it. There's, you know, a lot of it on the website now that you can read. But if you want to get a copy, I'd be glad to email it to you.
Well, what comeback does the fellow have if they keep the money?
Well, I got in the middle of that, and I said...
Hold that thought just a moment. And Cal is just telling us about some of the people who... But have sent their money into the coin companies, and then they're holding it, you know, maybe $100,000. Comeback does the person have?
Call the state attorney general's office in which the coal company, you know, is doing business. Call your state attorney general's office and call your attorney. You know, it's kind of like on a three-front attack. You know, you're writing letters, and, you know, these official people and attorney generals are writing letters to these companies, and it's just about every time effective. It does the job, and within a week or two, they either have their gold or their money back. So there's a recourse. If people want to call me, and I'll be glad. If you're in a pickle like that, I'll be glad to try to help you.
Okay, what's your telephone number? One more time.
Yeah, it's 414-234-8267.
All right, fine. God bless you. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thanks,
okay. Dr.
Stan.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
this is Dr. Stan. And Kennedy, if you'd like to know a little bit more about what's happening financially, we've got a great talk. It's called The Financial Tsunami, and it comes with DVD or video, and then there's, of course, a syllabus that goes with that that has a lot of information that comes from the government, from the Federal Reserve Board, that will give you an overview, which, of course, lists so many of the companies that used to be American companies. About 25% of our companies used to be American companies. They're no longer American companies. Certainly what you do not hear is that many of our states are having to sell off their infrastructure, their roads, their bridges, their dams, their water systems, their freeways, simply to make up the payments for their pension funds, and of course the outlandish guarantees they've made in a way of promise to pay for people's retirements. And they just don't have the money, and there's no way they can get it from the public. They can't increase taxes. They can't borrow. They're borrowed out. So, well, of course, they're selling the infrastructure. But what happens when the infrastructure is gone? And all of these great New Jersey Turnpike, the Chicago Skyway that the people bought and purchased are now, of course, owned by foreign corporations. They are in the process of destroying the infrastructure of our country. They're in the process of destroying the value of our currency. They're in the process of robbing the American people of their heritage and their freedom. And these things are not happening by accident. Let me suggest my talk on the financial tsunami and the syllabus, the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Anthony Sutton, certainly my good friend before he passed away, and then of course, lastly, the book Fiat Money, Inflation in France. We also have a little pamphlet called The History of Money. Or you can go up on the internet site at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com, and you can actually pull down my various articles on the financial system. You must understand that there's nothing new under the sun. Exactly what is happening today has happened many times before throughout history, as unscrupulous rulers have debased the currency and then eventually impoverished the people. And when you destroy the value of the currency and the stability of a currency, you destroy the stability of a society. So there really are people who hate America, and they have a different agenda. Their goal, of course, is to disrupt our society, and of course, out of the chaos will come a new world order, a new world religion, and of course a new world ruler. And it's pretty standard. They've been at this game for a long time, and the game is as old as empire. And so we do hope many of you will call our 800 number, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Again, the talk is Financial Tsunami. The books are Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, The Fiat Money, Inflation in France, and The History of Money. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, because if the people don't turn back to God, we're going to lose America. And then we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And we're going to be back in just a moment with another exciting program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest. And the guest now we're going to have on is Dale Smith. We're going to be talking about his book, Deception, All in the Name of Freedom, What the Left Really Wants. And Professor Smith was... Sydney, a professor emeritus, a celebrated educator and lecturer for over 30 years, and the disciple of sociology and social psychology and political science, a former president of a private college, and of course he's written extensively. I had the opportunity of meeting him this last weekend at a meeting in Southern California, and we looked at his book, and I think it's a fascinating subject because, like myself, he started out as a very, very liberal individual. He was a product of a university education. I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that when you go to college today, and if you don't have a fixed view, and if you don't have a relationship with our Lord, it's very easy to be taken in by the slick-talking professors who, of course, are trying to convince you that socialism is the wave of the future, and what we need is more government control so we can solve the problems of our time. And I shall never forget my own experience as I began to question what I'd been taught. And I knew communism was bad, but what was wrong with socialism? What was wrong with the United Nations? I mean, what's wrong with trying to bring peace to the world? And certainly, you know, so many of the things that I've been indoctrinated in, I mean, I knew that evolution was true because I could name all the various, the Cambrian and other eras of the past, and I was very proud of all my knowledge. But then how could I certainly correlate that with the Bible? And, of course, if the Bible is true, evolution is a lie, and everything I'd ever learned was a lie. And of course, if evolution is true, then the Bible is a lie, and there is no God, and there is no hope. Well, that is a background. Dale Smith, thank you so very much for being with us.
Yes, I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, why don't you just go ahead and pick up the story and tell us about your life, because you started out as a very, very liberal college professor. In fact, a lot of people were sure you were a communist.
Yes, I had that experience when I first started with the college, and
I was entered the president's office to talk to him about something when he happened to be on the phone and somebody was asking, well, is Dale Smith a communist? He says, no, he's okay. And so I was in a small, rather rural transitional community in Southern California, and I had to face a few people that didn't have an understanding of academic sociology and thought all of us were real bad people. I'd like to tell you a little bit about me and my life, I think, is to understand where I come from. My wife, Jerry, and I were married in the 1950s. We have 3 children and 7 grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild. And we were married during the Korean War, and I was in the Air Force, and the Air Force base was is right next to Biloxi, Mississippi, which we hear a lot in the news lately.
Now, I'm going to ask you to hold that right there. We're going to be back in a few minutes. And,
okay.
And, of course, I want you to tell the story, and, you know, because you were there, you know, during the time of downright discrimination against black people. For no other reason that they were black people, and it was accepted in the South. Discrimination was all right, but of course you knew it wasn't. Well, Dale, you go right ahead.
Okay. Being at the Air Force Base next to Biloxi, I decided to go in town, and I went in and I boarded the city bus and sat down, and the bus didn't go anywhere, and I wondered why. And here came the bus driver down, and he said, Airman, you need to sit above this line here. It was painted on the floor of the bus. He says, because white people sit in the front of the bus and colored people sit in the back of the bus. Now, I really had a moment there where I thought, I think I'm going to confront this whole thing. Then I saw myself standing in front of my commanding officer and decided I didn't have the nerve. But I'll never forget that experience. I should have known better, though, because I'd been seeing colored water fountains and white water fountains and that sort of discrimination. It was all really highly rooted in the South. And, of course, the North has their discrimination, too. Now, later on, I entered UCLA in the graduate school, and one day I was up there doing a research paper, and a lot of noise was outside, and I went over and looked down out of the window, and there was a group of students marching past the window. I was kind of angry at them because they were disturbing me and my focus, when I realized that what I was doing is a paper, a research paper on social movements, and one of them was passing my window. So I thought to myself, now this is kind of foolish. Why don't I get out and join what's going on? Since I had a lot of feelings about discrimination and prejudice, I joined some of the protest movements in the 1960s at UCLA because of the civil rights issue. And then later on, I became a faculty member at College of the Canyons, which is a very excellent community college in Southern California. I helped develop the college, I might add. I wonder, since I retired, how they're getting along without me. But I was the chairman of the sociology department there for many years. And what I'm trying to add up to is that I have a lot of understanding of the left. So the first chapter of my book is titled Turning from Left to Right. And so that is the... And thank goodness I had a Christian background in my life that pulled me through that whole thing and got me on the other side.
Well, you see, there's nothing wrong with being against discrimination. There's nothing wrong of being concerned about the lot of people who have less than we do. The only question is, what's the solution? We all accept the same question. And the only question is, how should we deal with discrimination and poverty? We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Professor Dale Smith, and he's retired now from being professor of sociology and having worked in a small community college for many years, and suddenly starting out as a young man, seeing the injustices in the world. And, of course, the difference between a conservative and a liberal is not that I think any conservative worth his salt is concerned about racial discrimination based upon the color of one's skin. I think that any conservative worth his salt is concerned about the lot of poor people in our society. I think that any human being who is certainly worthy of that title should be concerned about what's happening to the people in third world nations. The question is not should we be concerned about, but what should be done about it? How will we do away with discrimination? How will we do away, certainly, with the fact that some people do not have adequate sums of money, and some people really do live in poverty? So you pick up the story there.
Well, in my classes, I faced that dilemma, and I was thinking, well, how do I teach this whole thing about prejudice discrimination to lift people's tolerance? And I taught it. As I taught it, I realized that the studies supported what I was discovering, that as I taught it, it seemed to increase the prejudice of the student. So I made a decision that what I would do is turn the student inside from the outside issues and cut a piece of the sociology, which is called social psychology, and facilitate classes to help the student become aware of their self-responsibility. Because what I found out, as an individual is able to accept himself, he was able to accept others. I don't know of a self-aware individual who's a bigot at the same time. So I did that for years, and I became very successful, I believe, in doing that. That was my answer to the dilemma. How do you teach people to be more tolerant? I found out it's better to teach all people to be tolerant rather than just to select a few. That's why I'm not for teaching people to be tolerant towards A group or B group or C group, but to teach tolerance towards all of us, because we're all human beings. And that seemed to work the best. As they became more tolerant themselves, more accepting themselves, they became more accepting of others. I remember this one time, this individual was a black student. He was from, well, he was there on the football team, and the students asked him, well, how is it like to be black? How do you get along being black? He looked at him and says, well, I don't know what it is to be black. They said, you don't. And he was very black in his skin. He said, yes, I was raised in the state of Idaho, in Pocatello, Idaho, and I was raised around white schools and white friends, and all I know is white culture. He says, I have a tough time because I'm staying with the football team, which is out of the inner city, and they expect me to act black, talk black, and I don't. And you look at me and expect me to be black. He wrote a paper finally calling Lost Between Black and White. It was a very effective paper.
And because, you know, I think one of the worst things that we're doing to the black people today is Warner Brothers and the other big corporations that are encouraging the hip-hop culture, and of course the filthy speech, and this, you know, instead of speaking the King's English, why they have these dialects and certainly these phrases. And Bill Cosby has addressed this, and I applaud him for saying to the parents, look, teach your kids how to speak properly. I mean, try to get away from all of this idea of a black culture and a black speech. I mean, teach them, if they want to get ahead in this society, they got to talk like everybody else does. And of course, this is absolutely right. Some people, I mean, some young men, young black men raised around whites, they think white, and then there are others that think black, and they don't want to think black, and they want to succeed in a white man's society. It's predominantly a white society and white culture. Then they got to learn to think and talk, and certainly not to have this whole attitude of having a chip on their shoulder. They've got to realize that they are a unique individual made in the image and likeness of God, and they're just as good as anybody else. And they got to act like they really believe that.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Stanley, I'm really considering writing a new book entitled, you never know what the title is until you get to the end of it, but it'll be something like The Disguises or The Many Faces of Atheism. Because, you see, it's permeated throughout society in very subtle ways. I don't know how many saw the movie Castaway. It was a Tom Hanks movie. His flight crashed in the ocean, and he ended up on an island for 6 years. And he lived in a cave. Took him 2 days just to find out how to make fire. And his survival for that 6 years, with a big long beard, he had an alter ego of basketball he called Wilson, but not once indicated the slightest that he needed God. There was not a mention or a looking up in the air or nothing to indicate he needed power greater than himself. The implication was this, that individuals or human beings can do it by themselves without God. And I think we get that message a lot in our Hollywood productions.
That's because Hollywood hates God and Hollywood hates Christianity, and that's really such a tragedy. Because this is what everybody needs, even the people in Hollywood.
Well, I think I have my book, Deception All in the Name of Freedom, goes into the question of what is the foundation that holds up the liberal left in this country. And I go through quite at length. What I demonstrate is that the hidden virus of the left is atheism. And the atheism is what holds up the liberal left in this society. And I show how this is connected piece by piece and building the whole picture of what the problem is of the left. You see, the reason why they need atheism, they remove God and religion from the picture out here. They want to, because once they do that, they move the transcendent moral authority out of our society and leave the landscape open for them to usher in their kind of moral system, which is called moral relativism, relative morality. We've all heard of this, I think, before, and it simply means that right and wrong is decided by the group and the individual. So right becomes wrong, and wrong becomes right, and no longer is there absolute moral standards.
Well, of course, the thing is that it was recognized by our founding fathers that those who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants. And, of course, as John Adams had said, our form of government was made for a moral and religious people, would not work for any other. And what was he saying? He was saying you could not have a limited government, limited power held by government authorities, unless you had moral people who could govern themselves. And by governing themselves, I mean holding to God's standards. And you'll either be held to God's standards and follow God's rules, because freedom is not the ability to do what you want to. It's the ability to do what you should do according to God's rules. And you'll either, of course, adhere to God's rules, or, of course, you will eventually, of course, lose all freedom and come under the yoke of tyranny. And that's exactly the direction we're headed today, don't you think?
Oh, yes. And why we don't see this is because labels seem to cover up the movement of non-belief in the world today. And today we use words like the cultural war. We lose materialism, secularization, things like that. And it's like somehow we don't have the nerve to finally boil it down to what we're really saying. It is an atheistic... when we say atheism, many conservatives just have a difficult time separating an atheist from atheism. When I say atheism, I'm talking about the philosophy here, not just an individual. And it's much more persuasive. The atheism was originated and developed and promoted by the left in this country. It has a two-century development. It's based upon all kinds of philosophies like rationalism, existentialism, deconstruction, a lot of big words. But it all comes down to making the individual self-reliant without God. Religious people sometimes hide atheism from their thinking because they have biblical expressions. I haven't used the Bible verses in this book for a reason. Number one, I didn't want to make religion responsible or my particular church responsible, I'm a Christian, for what I'm saying. And secondly, once you mention the Bible, you open up the door to about 1,000 years of accumulated criticism that's behind the left against you. So I moved that away. And what I've done is try to approach the whole problem with reasoning. I have quite an interesting section in a chapter about how we can show science. When the left asks you to use science to prove there's a God, you're on the wrong side of the debate. It's not a question whether science proves there's a God. The question is, what method do you use to prove there's a God? There's existential methods. There's rational methods. There is methods that we use in the religious world called faith. And I would argue that faith is a method separate from science. You know, I'd like to ask an individual this question when we're in discussion like this. I say, do you know of a scientific study that's used the scientific method now that's proven that science is the only method to understanding truth? And they scratch their head and say, well, what did you mean by that? I said, is there a study that shows that the only method for understanding truth is the scientific method?
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Okay.
All right. Go right ahead.
And so I usually find that people say, well, I don't know exactly what you mean. I say, well, I don't think there is such a study. I don't know of a study that science, good science, I understand science methodology, having taught it for years. And I don't know of a study that science has proven that they're the only method. There's aesthetic methods, art methods, all kinds of methods to understand this world. And one of them is the faith method.
Of course, the major thing is that, you know, how do you explain the perfect order of society if there is no creator? And certainly when you look at the order of the periodic table of chemistry, you look at the order of the laws of physics or of geometry, even the perfect order in music. I mean, everything follows certain basic rules, the order within language and language construction. I mean, you look at the stars, you look at the human body, you look at biology, and you see a perfect plan in everything. And, of course, there's no way, you know, this could have simply happened by accident. You look at a little squirrel and you see them, you know, and take a peanut, and how do they know to bite off the end of that? And then, of course, take it over, they hide it. They as they would squirrel the peanut away. How do they know how to do these things? How do the birds know where to fly? The fish know where to go, where they were born after having been at sea for, you know, for maybe 2 years? Mm-hmm. The scientists can't explain any of these things. There has to be some sort of a design out there. Mm-hmm. I think the fool says there is no God.
Yeah, well, you see, again, I want to point out that the reason why the left wants to get rid of God is so they can put in their system moral relativism. The question we can ask is, what are the consequences of moral relativism in our society today? Well, we can see the moral decline and faith in God decreasing. And I wasn't satisfied with just having a conclusion like that. So having a background in research, I did a study for one of the chapters in this book, Deception All in the Name of Freedom, and the study's hypothesis is the title of the chapter. As the left increases in our society, morality and faith decreases. It's a very inverse proportion, and the statistics of the study were sophisticated. We collected data from conservatives in Southern California, and the liberal left data was collected on the Berkeley and San Francisco State campuses in California. And the statistical charts within the appendix of the book is very interesting for those that are interested, some are not, but it does demonstrate a scientific correlation that as we moved in the environment to inside the environment of the left, morality, traditional morality and faith decreases. So I think that's a very fascinating study. And I hope somebody around in the country, and especially in a conservative college, university somewhere, would like to pick up my hypothesis and continue the study because I did sort of a pretest is what it is, and I didn't have the money to do great amount of research. But I'd like to get right down into the Hollywood crowd for the data. That's what I'd like to do someday.
Well, I hope maybe one of these days you can. But certainly there is many people in Hollywood with an intense hatred of Christianity. And this is one of the really frightening things. We'll be right back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Professor Dale Smith, a longtime professor of sociology and, of course, psychology and, political science. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, Professor Smith is talking about the relationship between atheism and what's going on in Hollywood. Atheism and the progressive decline of the moral values of our society. And looking back over a period now of 70 or more years, we're not living in the same society I was born in. America has changed. It's changed dramatically. It did not happen by accident. It happened by design. The moral values that our people once held of integrity and, of course, doing what was right seems to have been replaced by do what thou wilt. That's the whole of the law, which is, of course, the philosophy of Aleister Crowley. We seem to be the determinant of what's right and wrong. Not, of course, the Bible, not God's Word. And, you know, once we begin to think that we would know what's right, why, of course, we leave the door open for really all sorts of terrible things to happen. When I went to medical school, we had 5 venereal diseases. Now we have 20 when I went to medical school. I mean, there were a few cases of gonorrhea and syphilis usually in the lower classes of society. Today, there are 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease. That's just the viral diseases. That doesn't include syphilis or gonorrhea or chlamydia or some of the others. And these things did not happen by accident. I believe there is an organized, orchestrated effort to destroy the moral fabric of our society. You pick the story up there, Professor.
Well, I'd certainly agree. Back to atheism, it is more organized than people realize. There's organizations that they meet in the country. There's papers that have been produced, manifestos are called, in 33, 73, and 1980. And it's interesting to note in 1973 that one of the papers came out, and that was the year that the Psychiatric Association voted to make homosexuality not abnormal. And it was a politically motivated vote. 10,000 psychiatrists voted against it, but it was still politically pushed through. And that was the vote, plus some inconclusive studies that's used to have made the gay activist movement a civil rights movement in the country. And that's what we mean by an organized effort to get the consequences of atheism and the moral decay in our society in the country.
I think it's very interesting that there's legislation before the state senate and the state assembly, where of course all classrooms will teach homosexuality as perfectly normal. Any mention of mother and father will be removed from textbooks because those are sexist remarks. After all, you could have Adam and Steve; they could be fathers. But the idea that we would have fathers and mothers. Why, of course, that is offensive to the people who have embraced the homosexual lifestyle. And it's not that, of course, that the homosexuals certainly would not want to have their way. It is the fact that if they are successful, they will destroy the very fabric of society that has given them the license to do exactly what they're doing. And we are headed in a one-way direction towards the destruction of society because, certainly, if you look throughout history, there's no incidents where Society has embraced homosexuality and sexual immorality, where there has not eventually been destruction of that society, because I believe God does intervene in the affairs of men, and I believe that God does bring judgment on nations. What are your thoughts?
Well, there's nothing that sells like freedom in America. Often we see freedom as a total virtuous phenomenon. But we find that freedom, that's why the title of the book, Deception, All in the Name of Freedom, that freedom is used to deceive people. Every one of these things we're talking about, the immorality of people, people buy into it because they're being deceived, because they think it's going to make them freer. Relative morality is sold on the idea of making people freer. Freedom of choice is the feminist movement about abortion. Freedom of choice. Freedom of choice in the gay movement. Freedom of choice in the environmental movement. Freedom of choice in the anti-war movement. Freedom of choice in the so-called civil rights movement of today, which is staffed by, I'm afraid to say so, by mostly, they're mostly atheistic, so they're a bunch of atheistic lawyers. Some are agnostics, but I think an agnostic is just a gutless atheist.
All right, hold on. We'll be back in just a moment here. And welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Professor Dale Smith. Go right ahead with your thoughts there.
Well, you know, as we move on here, what we have here is a development of a system of thinking. As we move from atheism to moral relativism, now we take moral relativism and see how it's used by the left. The question is, why has diversity and political correctness from the left been so successful in this country? It is because they use moral relativism to support their belief of what life ultimate virtue is. They really believe, if they hear the left, you think that they discovered and invented individual agency when really it's a gift to God. But they, their conclusion is choice, individual choice or freedom of choice is the ultimate virtue. From the traditional conservative, God-fearing people's point of view, that's not true. Freedom of choice or individual agency is the means by which we arrive at the ultimate virtue. The ultimate virtue is to make proper choices to become like God or to become God-like and accept His way of life. That is the ultimate virtue.
Well, I always like to say that freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want to do, but the ability to do what you should do according to God's laws.
Exactly. Exactly. And you wondered why some of these people in Hollywood are doing what they're doing. Well, because they're caught up with the idea that it all gives them a sense of freedom. But it's interesting to note that just like drugs gives people the illusion, you were talking about illusion at the beginning of the program, talking about illusion that they will have be freer when they take a drug, or when they have alcohol, it makes them freer. But in the end, you see, many times these things make people in bondage and become addictive, and they lose their life, and they can't manage their life anymore. So, in fact, I wrote a book years ago called Illusions of Power, where I treated that whole thing in a text. I forced my students to buy it, however.
Well, of course, that gives you... When you're the professor...
I can't get away with that now, you see.
Right, well, of course, when you're a professor, why, you can do that sort of thing.
By the way, you can order my book, Deception, All in the Name of Freedom, on Amazon.com.
All right, well, we're going to just bring that up here in about 30 seconds as we bring all of our stations back on board with us.
Okay.
We're right here at Radio Liberty. But I guess this evening is Dale Smith, Professor Dale Smith, a professor emeritus, and he is retired at the present time. His book is published by Publish America, and we'll let you know in just a moment how to get it. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our telephone number, if you'd like to, of course, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Professor Smith, how can people get your book? And of course,
well, they can get my book, Deception, All in the Name of Freedom, what the left really wants by ordering it through Amazon.com, or if they're not too familiar with the computer, they can call my publisher on the East Coast. Their number is 301-695-1707.
One more time. You always have to give your number twice on the radio.
Okay. Either order at Amazon.com or my publisher, 301-695-1707. I appreciate that because many times I try to take numbers down on a radio station. By the time I get my pen out, it's over.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is Barbara. Barbara's calling from Santa Cruz. And let's, of course... hello, Barbara from Santa Cruz. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Well, I'm just really enjoying your program tonight. And the comments regarding this young black man who had been raised in a white neighborhood,
yes,
you know, and trying to relate to being, you know, a black, you know, young man, reminded me of a book that I read years ago, and it was called Black Like Me.
Yes, I've heard of that book.
And I remember reading this, and they took this young man who had features that were very similar to that of a young black man, and they darkened his skin and sent him out into, you know, neighborhoods and found out how he was treated, and then, you know, whitened his skin back up again, sent him back out into the same neighborhood and found out how he was treated. And it was just, you know, such an amazing story of how, you know, people are treated because of the color of their skin. And
yes,
it was really sad.
It is sad.
And
you see, it makes my heart feel warm. I'm thinking that you're conservative politically, and I'm thinking that you also have a faith-based life and that you are aware of racism. And that's very important because the conservative community has no chance to win this battle. They must get rid of all their racist ideas, wherever it's coming from. What I'd like to do is turn put the feet of the left to the fire and connect the left with atheism. Let's get it out in the public. The left is supported by atheism, the forces of non-belief in the world. That's what I'd like to get out to people.
And, of course, the thing is that the greatest form of hypocrisy are the liberals like Jesse Jackson,
yes,
you know, Al Sharpton, and the others. And, of course, whenever there's anything, they're always there screaming, racism, racism, racism. You know, they were back there, there at the, I believe it was at Dartmouth, where the three fellows were accused of raping a black woman. And, of course, you know, and they were just out to create a problem. And this is the tragedy. And they play this thing for all it's worth. And I don't think they certainly do not represent black people. In fact, what they do is they create this division. In fact, there's an organized effort, in my opinion, to separate black from white here in America. In fact, I was just thinking, you were talking about how you think as a black person, and a little off the subject, but I had a booth at a recent meeting, and everybody was in the meeting, and I was just sitting there at the booth. I didn't want to go in, and a very attractive black woman came up. She picked up a 4 tapes that I had on O.J. Simpson, and I said, you know, certainly that's one of my favorite tapes. Nobody's interested in O.J. now, because most blacks believe O.J. was framed, he was innocent. Most whites believe O.J. is guilty, is sin, and of course he just got off because he had a lot of money. And she looked at me a little surprised, and she said something I will never forget. She says, that's right, she says, except for my brother. And my brother was raised with white folks, and he thinks white. And then she told me, of course, how her brother had actually run into some people who were part of the team that had actually killed Nicole Simpson, and how he'd called her at 2 o'clock in the morning to say, you're right, O.J. didn't do it. But because he thought like a white person, he was sure that O.J. was guilty. But we have to all think the same way. We can't think like blacks. We can't think like whites.
Well,
we ought to be thinking like Americans.
You know, the great commandment, love thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself.
Amen to that. Well, Barbara, do you have anything else you wanted to say?
Yes, and we all, and I believe also that we are all made in the image and likeness of God.
Yes,
and,
definitely.
Say what you, you know, what you will about Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, the one thing I liked about him was he said we should be judged by our character, not by the color of our skin.
I dream of the
and,
day.
And this is, I think, one of the most important things that we need to remember. But it was also one other thing. And I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but it was called Disguised. And it was by a young woman who was 26 years old. And they disguised her as a woman of 85. And they did the same thing with her and saw how she was treated as being a young, attractive woman and an older, crippled, you know, elderly lady. And, you know, people really need to stop and think how they treat their fellow human beings. You know, it's by appearance. And it's not by the heart. And we really need to start, you know, thinking about what we're doing.
I relate to this 85-year-old one. I'm 75, and I had to correct a young fellow today. I did it just to see if I could teach something. He was waiting on for me, and he says, something, what can I do for you, young man? And I said, are you aware that when you call me a young man, that's a put down, a stereotype of my age? And he was shocked. I said, you know, we got to get more conscious about us older people. You know who I find, by the way, the most courteous to me?
Who is that?
As an older man? I find Hispanic people, Hispanic males, will be the first ones to open up a door for me, the first ones to show me some respect, like I have a position in this world simply because I've lived this long. I think that's wonderful, because what it shows is the values across the ethnic boundaries.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And many of the Hispanics are really wonderful, warm people that have been raised, but most of them have been raised with the fear of God, and that's what's so important. Anyway, Barbara, anything else you'd like to say?
No, just thank you very much for this program. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, fine. Well, of course, that was Barbara from Santa Cruz. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And really, of course, if there is no God, then, of course, life really has no meaning. That old adage of, you know, life is tough and then you die, or life is simply a matter of quiet desperation. I mean, if you really do believe there's a God, then life is exciting. Every aspect of from the when you're young to when you're middle-aged to when you grow old, and then you have something to look forward to. I mean, if I didn't believe there was a God and I'm here, I am 78 years old, why, what would I be looking at? I'd be looking at then I'd die, and that's the end of it. Yeah, from dust thou art, to dust thou wilt return. And yet, of course, I look forward to an eternity with my Lord. And, you know, so I have something to look forward to, but what does the atheist have to look forward to? Absolutely nothing.
We have a resident atheist in the L.A. area on the media. And concludes that what he has to look forward to is to become worm fodder. I'd like him to compare worm fodder conclusion of his life with what you just described. You know, we have a three-act play here, you know, and we're along the travel of this three-act play, and the beautiful thing that we look forward to in the third act is fantastic. So I'll go for the rewards and the great area of God's world a lot more than I would go by looking for being a worm fodder. I think most atheists would like to believe in what we're talking about, but their preconceived notions prevent them from believing, unfortunately.
But you know, one of the most tragic things is most of the ideas that have been implanted in their minds have been implanted usually when they went on to college. In fact, I find many people who never went to college or dropped out of college are a lot smarter than those people with lots of degrees. And I know, for instance, the physicians I practice medicine with. I mean, here are people, you know, 4 years of college and 4 years of medical school and maybe 4 or 5 years of additional training. And these people were just brilliant. I mean, they knew so much. a trivia, but when it really came to what life was all about, most of them really didn't know God. There were very few doctors who needed God, because after all, when you're a doctor, you're pretty close to God. You're almost like a God yourself. You're making life and death decisions. You're prosperous. You don't need God. At least you don't think you need God until some personal tragedy comes into your life. And it was only, one of those doctors that I knew perhaps lost a son or a loved one or a wife or a divorce or something happened to them, a crisis in their medical practice, that they turned to God. But the vast majority of people with all these degrees, do not believe God. And they don't realize that everybody needs God. That's the tragedy.
The greatest thing that I know is my wife and I, over 50 years of marriage, and we love each other more today. It gets increased, increase. We are very close to each other. She's a professional artist, and I'm writing a book in retirement. And the things that we do, it's just absolutely marvelous. And we do it together and share things together. We were both at that Republican convention, along with where you were a few days ago, last weekend, and we were sharing things there. So I think these are the kinds of things, the kind of life you live, you see. Now, the atheist thinks you can be good without God, but I wonder where they think they get goodness from. All goodness comes from God, and that's a pretty arrogant thing to think you can be it without God. So I just want to keep kind of plugging along here of how the system of this book works, because we build it now from atheism to moral relativism. We brought up the whole idea of political correctness and diversity and how that ties in. Now I just want to kind of build one of the last stages here, is where does the left get its power from? And they get it from, well, we're talking a bit about that. Why do a person, what is it, people like Jackson, Jesse Jackson, what are they doing? They are trying to convince many of the minority people that they can't make it in America, that America's against them, that they're losers. If in this system, will beat them down, and that they're victims, and that the only way they can make it in this society is to have government help. Of course, then their big plea is, and vote for us, and we will then take these government programs and give you the things that you want. And that's how they get their political power, through diversity, political correctness, and what I call victim for votes program. Now we're building a big picture here. So I just like to bring it together. How many of the people that's listening are connecting the dots of the problem that we face in the left? Do you see the system? Atheism leads to moral relativism. Moral relativism to diversity. Diversity builds the power base of the political left. And what do they really want? They want power, and they do anything they can to get it, even lead America or drive America into a godless, socialistic state. That's where their take is. That's what they really want.
Yeah, you have no question. You won't get any argument at all from me.
I know you won't, because I've read your book.
But the thing is, of course, when America turns against God, then eventually God will turn against America. This is the tragedy. And it may not be that we can turn our nation back to God, but at least we have to try. And Zinni, I applaud you for what you're doing and for writing and talking. And I met Professor Smith standing outside the room there where the meeting was being held, passing out cards, just trying to get people to read this book. It's hard to get a book out. It's hard to get a book distributed. It's hard to get people to begin to sit back and analyze what's going on. We like to read an adventure story. We like to read something exciting or watch something exciting on television. And we have to understand what we believe in. And, of course, even more important, why, of course, God is important in our lives, and why every one of us needs a personal relationship with our Savior.
Okay, the question is, since you've been proposing it all the way through, you're very much from the beginning of our discussion is, so what do we do about it? What is the solution? Well, we've been suggesting a solution is the Word of God. And I agree. But then the book, Your Deception All in the Name of Freedom, takes a position, the responsibility of a secular solution. What did the secular society do about the problem of the left? Now, I believe in the last days, like many of you do. But I have not. I sent my mortgage payment one time to God, and he sent it back. He said, you're going to have to pay that yourself. And so there's a lot of things I do in this life. I don't wait for anything, you see. I get on with it. So I think there's a secular response. The people at that convention, they asked me to speak, which I thought it was great. I was a minor speaker. Gave me 10 minutes, but I appreciated it. But I observed a lot of things. I saw that the conservative world seemed to be caught up and distracted in symptoms. And they're looking at symptoms rather than the problem. They're looking at, they're attacking individuals rather than looking at the problem. They're looking at one issue instead of the whole problem. They're more, sometimes more interested in money than they are morality and faith. So I think the conservatives need to look at the whole total picture. Deception all in the name of freedom ties and all brings all the dots and connects them together to bring in the big picture. And so the question now is, what conditions must America face before the conservative community is willing to stand up and fight against the political left in this country? What conditions must we have?
Well, what conditions will we have to have?
Well, I have a friend that came up to me one time, and he said, you know, I just can't change, and I don't know why. And I said to him, I think I know why. He said, why? I said, because you're not in enough pain. You don't hurt enough. When the pain of the problem exceeds the pain of the solution, then you'll be willing to do something about it.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Professor Dale Smith to wrap up the program here at Radio Liberty. This evening. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. I guess this evening has been Dale Smith, and he was simply asking, you know, how are we going to change things? And he was commenting on one of his friends had come to him and said, you know, didn't know how to change, and Professor Smith had told him, well, when it becomes painful enough, you're going to be forced to change. And as I look and see what's going on in our society, I agree totally. I believe that things are going to have to get a lot worse, and I think they are going to get a lot worse. And worse, in many respects, is better. Because only when people face the loss of all freedom, only when people face the loss of their material possessions, only when people face the loss of their freedom are they going to value any of these things. And so I think that rather than be disheartened by the things that lie ahead, why, we should certainly look forward to actually utilizing what's about to happen, begin preparing people to be able to speak and speak intelligently, and of course bring others into a personal relationship with our Lord as our society begins to crumble. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners, Professor?
Yes. We need to band together, and because, you see, that's a uniting factor. When we sense that powerlessness, when our back is against the wall, all groups in the world have gotten that place before they were willing to stand up and fight back. So, you see, Marx says we'd never do it at the top. Only the people in the bottom would unite. He was wrong. We'll unite by our beliefs, and we'll unite because one day we'll be in a sense of powerlessness so strong that we'll unite together to do something about it. I hate to say this. I don't want to say it, but we're going to have to get to that place. It may come tomorrow. It may come 50 years from now. I don't know. But I think that's what it's going to take. And also, I might add, that another thing is going to, that we're going to have to do, we're going to have to live our own beliefs. We have to have integrity within our own group. We can't say we believe in one thing and live another way. So if we have the high level of integrity, or to put it this way, righteousness, and we also are back against the wall, then I think we'll do something about it.
Well, one of my good friends, Pastor Chuck Chris Myers, I think said it best. He said, if we want to change America, we've got to do it one person at a time, starting with you and I. And that's where it's going to start, and from there it can spread out. I want to thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a very, very pleasant hour, and I've really enjoyed having you.
Well, I've enjoyed it, too. I appreciate you taking me through.
Good night. Well, this is Dr. Stan here this evening, and I hope you've enjoyed our program with Professor Smith. And as we've talked really about his book entitled Deception, and All in the Name of Freedom. What the left really wants, and of course what they want, is to destroy our faith, to bring us to the same sense of hopelessness that they have, and to bring us under the control of the all-powerful government. But behind all of the things that we talk about, back of all that foes have plotted, back of all that saints have planned, back of the schemes of men and demons is a higher hidden hand. Warp and woof, for heaven created every pattern good and wise, oft perplexed by earthly standards, be good and wise in heavenly eyes. And I believe that. I believe that we're involved in a spiritual battle. And behind everything going on today are powerful spiritual forces from another dimension. Now, those of you who have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, need to get it. And then, of course, you need to see the new DVD, The Forbidden Secret, and we've got a new, great new 4-tape set on The Secret Behind the Secret. Now, what is The Secret? Well, of course, it's a book and video that's put out by Rhonda Byrne called The Secret, and claims that it's going to reveal the secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years by Sidney, from generation to generation, that Plato knew it, and the great leaders, financial and political and scientific of the past knew this, that Thomas Edison knew it, and she is going to teach you that secret. Now, I tell you exactly the same thing. Rhonda is absolutely right. The only trouble is she doesn't understand the implications of the message that she's teaching. In fact, she got much of this from a woman named Mrs. Hicks, who had a demonic spirit named Abraham, who would manifest through her, and who she channeled. And Mrs. Hicks was in the original, and the original script of the motion picture, I should say the DVD, and then, of course, dropped out. Understand that there really is another dimension. Until you understand that, you don't understand what UFOs are, you don't understand why Ouija boards are, you don't understand that levitation, although it can be an illusion, it can be reality as well. And of course, there truly are demonic spirits out there prowling the earth in search of the souls of men. So we do hope that you'll certainly want to get our material, and you'll want, of course, if you'd like to understand why we are in the Middle East, you'll certainly want to read my February newsletter. It's up on the internet at radioliberty.com, and if you don't have access to the internet, we'll be glad to send you a copy. If you get in touch with us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Certainly one of the most knowledgeable people on this subject is Constance Cumby, and we offer her talk on DVD, on VHS, an hour talk she gave at our last convention, and then we have a 4-tape set, and we have Constance's book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, the book that really changed my life when I first read it back in 1982 or 1983. And after searching for 20 or 21 years, trying to understand what was really going on in the world today, and always having a feeling I was missing something and belonging to all these conservative groups, but none of them ever told you the truth. And after I've read Constance Cumby's book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, for the first time, the veil was lifted from my eyes. If you're interested in learning more, Why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and they'll make a suggestion there if you'd like to get obtain any of the material. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty.